During Men's Health Week, a week that we celebrate every year, our guest, Charlie Morris, talks about his diagnosis of breast cancer. Yes, men get breast cancer too, and Charlie is willing to share his story with anyone. He knows that a lump in a man's breast could mean cancer. Listen today as he shares his journey and what has got him through it. When you subscribe to our show, you help us grow. Someone you know may need to hear this story, so please share with your family and friends. And consider supporting our mission. Your donation can help save the life of an uninsured woman. Let's Talk About Your Breast, a different kind of podcast presented to you by The Rose, a breast center of excellence and a Texas treasure. You're going to hear frank discussions about tough topics, and you're going to learn why knowing about your breast could save your life. Charlie, you worked at one of the plants out here in Pasadena for 36 years. Describe that job for us.
So I hired on when I was 19, pretty much out of high school, and I was an operator on what they call a fluid catalytic cracking unit, which brings in the oil and breaks it down into gasoline, butane, propane, and different components to ship off. And being an operator, you know, you wear your fire retardant materials, your hard hats, you're out there, you're doing day-to-day process work, you're there for emergencies. Sometimes you're there 24, 36 hours at a time if there's a major emergency, just on and off. And through the 36 years, I progressed, became an actual inside control operator where I actually ran the unit. I controlled the temperatures, controlled the pressures and settings and the product qualities and things like that. On up to the later years, about my last 10 years there, I was actually in the training department working on training console operators to operate the computer systems, which now run the units. Back when I first started, they were all like pneumatic knobs and dials and things you'd tap with a quarter or something to make sure they're correct.
Oh, my goodness. Well, since the first time I met you, I always saw you as one of these men's men. You know, as one of those guys that I don't guess at the plant they had very many women to begin with. Maybe yeah. Not even at the end, but you were working with men in a field that was very much a man's world and required a lot of strength and a lot of perseverance and just plain old staying with it.
Yeah, I would probably say operator-wise, the job like I did, out of about 700 employees, probably 100, 150 were women. Mm-hmm. Not very many at all. There was a woman when I hired on our unit. So, you know, I've worked with, there's always been a woman on our unit, one at a time. They didn't get very many.
Yeah. So we're going to fast forward to when you were diagnosed with breast cancer. Here you're in a male world, any way you look at it. And how did you find your breast cancer?
Well, strange story. I was in the shower, just showering, rinsing off. And when I rubbed across my left breast, I felt something. So I went back and checked it again, and I felt it again, like a little bump or something, just on the lower left of my areola. And I asked my wife when I got out to feel it, make sure I wasn't imagining things. And she said there was something there on my breast and that we ought to have it looked at. And I guess I noticed then by looking in the mirror, I had a slight downturn of my nipple.
Oh.
Which after much reading afterwards, I found out that's a common sign of
yes
something in there.
All of these words that just fell out of your mouth just now, describing your body, those were not the words you would normally have been familiar with until this this time, right?
Not at all.
You wouldn't have called your breast breast. You might have said chest or...
chest or moobs or...
Yeah.
My son calls me one moob Morris now. So.
Goodness. But I'm trying to set the stage for, you know, men don't think of their breast as breast or as having breast cancer. That's usually thought of as a woman's disease. So this had to be quite a shock for you to eventually learn that it was breast cancer. You had to do all the things a woman does, right? You had to have mammogram and ultrasound.
Yeah, I went through everything a woman does. Like you said, I never knew it that men could have breast cancer. When I found the lump, of course, I just went to my family doctor, you know, and it's, you know, no big deal. It's probably nothing because I've had lipomas on other parts of my body, which are nothing. And that's what he said. Oh, it's probably a lipoma, and sent me for an ultrasound. But I didn't, just something about my body, I didn't feel comfortable. Just something in me, I didn't feel comfortable. So I called Dr. Melillo because she's dealt with my mother-in-law and my wife. And so I knew her because I always took them to their appointments.
Yeah.
And she checked me and said, yeah, we need to have you go through the system of a mammogram and an ultrasound. And I was scared to death of a mammogram because I've heard my wife's story sometimes, but it wasn't near as bad as I thought it was.
So that's one of the big surprises to most men, that they can even have a mammogram. So was it awkward, uncomfortable?
Yeah, it was a little bit awkward, a little bit uncomfortable. Being a extra handsome-sized person like I am, you know, I've always been a little bit more endowed there, so it's probably a little easier for him than a man that may not have a lot of tissue up in that area. So they managed to, excuse the expression, but squeeze the heck out of me.
Yes, which they had to be able to see it on the film. Yeah. So describe your time, and I'm asking these questions. I know they're a little bit personal, but these are the things that men don't think about. What was it like just be in the waiting room, waiting to have your mammogram? I mean, what went through your mind, and how did all that feel? And
well, sitting in the waiting room was no big deal because I sat there with my wife and my mother-in-law before, so that's not a big deal. What was the funniest part was when they came out and asked for Mrs. Morrison, I stood up and they looked at me. I said, it's Mr. Morris going back there. And of course, you know, back in the earlier years, not when I went through it, my wife always talked about how women just walked around shrouded back in the hallways, you know. So I was real apprehensive, you know, trying to make sure I didn't make any women feel uncomfortable because I didn't want to make women feel uncomfortable with me being there.
And that's a good point. I hadn't thought of that. So what was the most difficult thing that you had to do during this whole process? Was it the assimilation of, oh, you have breast cancer, or was it the testing or the facing up to it, the oncology part?
I think the most difficult part that I had was probably more facing up to it and then getting over the initial fear and shock and then getting on with, I'm going to be okay. I'm in good hands. I'm going to be taken care of. And then going through all my chemotherapy during COVID.
Right.
Because it was right at the height. I started chemotherapy on January 9th of 2020. So right at the beginning of COVID.
When I was looking at your information and Rhett saw that, I went, oh, someone else who had to deal with that so alone, not having your spouse there or anyone to support you in the room as you're talking to the doctors. And of course you have so many doctors, it seems like one after the other when you're doing all that and you're trying to remember everything they're telling you, which is impossible.
It was difficult. My wife got to go through the first two rounds of the, at that time, or think it's called AC, but it's mm-hmm. most commonly known as the Red Devil chemo, the most powerful mm-hmm. one. And she got to go in with me on the first two rounds, and then they stopped any visitors from coming in as well. And even all the way up through the end of ringing the bell, they wouldn't let her come in, but I fooled them.
You fooled them?
Yeah, I said that I couldn't walk hardly and I needed a wheelchair, and she had to wheel me up, so she wheeled me up.
Oh, Charlie.
And then I walked out.
Oh, no. Goodness.
But, you know, she yeah. wanted to be there for the ringing of the bell.
Of course, of course. Now, I've had several other thoughts. You didn't have anybody in your family that had breast cancer, did you?
I've had some aunts on my dad's side.
Oh, okay.
And an aunt on my mother's side that's had breast cancer.
Okay.
So.
And you did the genetic testing?
Yes, ma'am. I did the genetic testing. And, you know, talking to the genetic people, it was all about, you know, mutations and things like that. But I came back perfectly normal. There were no mutations, which is common in a lot of men, because if they have a mutated BRCA gene, then they're more apt to get breast cancer. Right. But there was none in mine. So it was just, you know, who knows?
Who knows? But but I know you struggled with that question of, well, why? If I have no genetic issues going on, you know, why did I have this? That was kind of puzzling, I'm sure, at the time.
Well, yeah, and things still go through my mind, because 36 years in the plant, worked around a lot of carcinogens mm-hmm. and things like that. So, you know,
oh, yeah.
you just never know.
And from where I sit, I hear that often in different people. They want to know a reason for this. And you know, the thing I've learned, and remember, I'm not a physician, but the thing I've learned is breast cancer just happens. You know, you didn't bring it on. Nothing you did could cause it. It just happens. And it's such an insidious disease that it's very, very scary. Now, in men, this kind of cancer can be very deadly. And I'm sure in your research, you discovered that.
Yeah, I have discovered quite a few groups online and stuff on Facebook, and reading their stories that they find in a later stage.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it can be deadly. There's, you know, I read of deaths all the time from it. You know, I feel myself was fortunate. I found it real early.
Right. And you paid attention.
Stage two, right?
Yes. Yes. I mean, and it's something like 25% of all the men who develop breast cancer will not make it to that fifth year, and you're almost there. I was thinking
almost
there, yes. Yeah. But yours was found very early. But you did have to do an extra amount of chemotherapy. It
right.
seems like your chemotherapy was very intense. And was that just because it wasn't responding, or extra precautions, or what?
So when they took the tumor out, they sent it out for what they call an ONCA test.
Mm-hmm.
And the ONCA scores tell you somewhat the likelihood of reoccurrence. So when I got mine back, it was a 27% chance of reoccurrence, mm-hmm. which I'm an odds player. But my oncologist, Dr. Yuma Bueno at MD Anderson, she said that if I have chemo and they hit it aggressively, that it lowers my odds down to 12%. I'm an odds player. I'm going to take them odds every day.
Every day. Absolutely.
You know, I know chemo is tough, but I went through a total of 16 rounds of chemo, 4 Red Devil, and then 12 of the, I can't think of
the other one. Yeah. Yeah. So that's an important thing for our listeners to hear, these different tests that you're taking. Give us ranges, give us odds, as you put it, and whatever we feel like we have a little bit of control over.
Exactly.
At the time. I mean, yeah. Yeah.
You know, like you ask yourself, why me? But as my wife and I have always said, when people say, why me? It's like, why not you? What makes you different?
Yeah.
I'm no different than any other man.
Right.
So, you know, I'm going to do what I can do to make sure that I survive.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, I think the most special part about your story is how you found the courage to get up in front of a group of your coworkers and colleagues and tell your story that first time.
Yeah, so it just so happens I was diagnosed in October, which a lot of large corporations do the United Way fundraisings mm-hmm. at that time. And I got with our coordinator at the plant and told her that I would like to do this, you know, talk to these people, because a lot of men out there are unaware, and there's it's a majority male plant, you know. So I got up in front of them, talked to them, told my story during the United Way campaign with the United Way coordinator there, mm-hmm. and told them some of the important things. And, you know, we have good insurance at work. We're in a plant. We, you know, we got some pretty good insurance. And I tried to instill on them, don't hesitate, you know, get a checkup. And I discovered there were several men out there that had it that I've worked with for 20 years and never knew it.
Right.
You know, so a lot of men won't talk about it. It's, like I say, it's nothing you can help. So you might as well spread the word so more men know. And it was hard talking about them, but I did four sessions, and there's about 150 in each session, different people. So it worked out really good, I think. Getting the word out and plugging the rose, of course, because I let them know the importance of, if we go to the rose with insurance, it helps people that don't have insurance get the same screenings.
Right, including men.
Including men, that's yes. good, yeah.
Yes. So, and I'm just curious, did anyone make fun of you or anything when you first started talking about it? Did any of the men go... seem obviously embarrassed, or did you get any of that kind of reaction?
Actually, this is probably part that really nobody ever knew, but there were a couple of guys that I worked with on a daily basis that actually wanted to feel it to see what it felt like.
Oh.
And I let them. It was no big deal, you know, so... Yeah, I guess in a way. I did get some feedback, you know. I didn't really get any harassment, like, it wouldn't be harassment, but any kidding about, you know, oh, well, always knew you were on the feminine side or something. You know, I never got any of that back at me.
That's so interesting, though, that they wanted to feel it.
I thought maybe they were on the feminine side.
No, you didn't.
No, I didn't. No, they're married men that's... You know.
But I don't think I've ever heard that response. But, you know, when you think about it, of course, what does it feel? Well, and, you know, men have a mastectomy just like a woman.
Oh, most definitely. Yeah. I know.
Yeah, and I think that's important, not so much for our listeners to know, but it is the same treatment that a woman might have. And so, yes, your body does look different.
Yeah, the same exact treatment as a woman.
Yeah.
Because there's very little known about male breast cancer.
That's so true.
They're doing more and more research, but as far as what is known, is still very, very not known, should I say.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
I mean, the medications are the same as a woman and everything else.
And I know with some other male breast cancer patients, they've talked about they didn't have the same reactions that women do, and that always, you know, upsets the treatment plan because, you know, and it just has to do with that difference in our bodies, the difference in our hormone responses, and
right.
But until there's a better way, that's what we've got to work with.
Oh, most definitely. Yeah. You know, you have to work with what you got, and, you know, I thank God every day that, you know, God made, you know, to me, God made everything. And he gave me the mindset and gave everybody else in the world the mind to make their decisions, to seek that education of the ones that are providing all this mm-hmm. help for us and stuff. And, you know, it's really great to go on that path. It's all God's will, I guess.
Right. And you spoke a little bit about the different groups you saw online that, you know, a lot of this day and age, there are so many more male breast cancer resource groups than there used to be even 5 years ago. So that was a help for you. I mean, you didn't have any problem going to look for them, engaging with other men on this.
I didn't have any issues at all. There's, like I say, several groups online, His Breast Cancer, Male Breast Cancer Brothers, several more. There's one called Man Up to Cancer, The Howling Place. So that's not just breast cancer. It's all men in cancer. It's a men's group where men can talk about their cancer problems with other men. But there's a lot of breast cancer people mm-hmm. on there as well. So it really helps to talk and stuff. And my story has been published on the His Breast Cancer website, mm-hmm. as well as published before with y'all.
That's so interesting, Charlie, because men aren't known to talk with each other about such personal things.
They're really not. And men need to talk just as much as women do, really.
Great advice.
To help get their mind at ease and to help them see what's coming and know what's coming and know how to respond to certain things.
Absolutely. And that little bit of getting out of your head can really help because you worry.
Exactly.
There's hundreds of questions. You don't know what's going to come up next.
Right. Just listening in the groups or, you know, most of it was online typing, but reading different things, you learn questions that you might need to ask your oncologist.
That's right. That's a good point. And again, we're encouraging men, if you're experiencing this or think you might have something, you know, don't hide it under a bushel. Go and find out about it, because that's the whole key. You, from the beginning, went right in.
Right in.
And so many men will wait, and then that waiting can really make a difference in treatment.
Yeah, I didn't hesitate. Well, like I said, my mother-in-law's had breast cancer that I helped take her to treatments and stuff. So I didn't really hesitate on wanting to find out. Now, not knowing that men can get breast cancer, when I felt something, it felt kind of weird. But,
yeah,
you know, and there was a guy I worked with every day up in the control room. He came to me after this and said that he felt something. And I gave him Dr. Melillo's information. He actually came here, but his was okay. It was negative.
So it is important to share your story, especially with those coworkers who may have a little trouble accepting it. But, hey, it's part of what you are now charged to do.
Right. Most definitely. Keeping positive and spreading your story and not letting it get you down is probably, to me, the most important key in recovery.
That is so true. Staying positive, believing in what the doctor's telling you, or at least having that comfort level that what's going on is what needs to happen. And, of course, you don't know that if you don't have that little bit of education about it or have that someone to talk to.
Exactly. Like I always tell people is, if you don't feel comfortable with your first meeting with your doctor, there's others in Houston. We live in the greatest medical center area in the world here.
That's right.
So there are many others with just as much, if not more, experience.
And that is such an important message, Charlie. So many people get discouraged. They don't connect with that doctor. Then they don't always follow the treatment, or they don't believe they're getting better. And like you said, that attitude can make all the difference in the world in how you recover.
Most definitely.
So when you introduce yourself, do you say, "Hi, I'm Charlie. I'm a breast cancer survivor"?
No. I'll say, "Hi, I'm Charlie. I got one move." No, no, I'm just joking. But I don't really say I'm a breast cancer survivor, but usually comes up in conversation pretty quick.
That's interesting.
We talk about whoever we're talking to, you know, it'll usually come up in some form of the conversation. And people are like, "Men can get breast cancer?" You know, I said, yes, they can. I don't know if you remember, right about the time I was diagnosed, I think it was Beyonce's dad got diagnosed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that was right at the same time I was diagnosed, which sort of helped in a way because he publicly on TV came out about it too. So,
right.
You know, every little bit helps.
Every little bit, yes. And of course, for the work you were doing and the work you were in, you know, that's just to me such a contrast for you to be able to say that and share it with your colleagues. And, you know, once again, you're talking about the importance of not being concerned, not being embarrassed. It is a cancer.
Right. It's cancer. It's mm-hmm. just like prostate cancer that men get or, right. you know, any other cancer that anybody gets. You fight it and you go on.
Charlie, what other words of wisdom would you give our listeners?
Most importantly, you know, with me going through this with COVID, I really found out my strength all came from my wife.
Oh.
We'll be married 39 years this year. So, and her strength came from me because we're isolated. So we had nobody but each other. Couldn't get around groups. Had to keep my grandkids away because they're going to school and stuff. I didn't want to take chances of getting COVID. You know, everybody had to stay isolated. And I think the most important thing is staying positive and surround yourself with positive people. And that was the first thing I told my kids and stuff. We're not going to talk negativity. We're not going to say, what if this or what if, it's not what if, it's like when I'm cured or positive, I'm going to be cured. So keep positivity around you. If negativity does show up, tell the people, no, there's nothing negative about it. I'm going to be cured. I don't want to hear any negativity. If you can't be positive, go somewhere else.
Good advice. Good advice. And your wife was able to hang on to that positive. I mean, she had to be scared and worried some of that time. Or
she was scared and worried. Like I say, I don't know if I'd made it without her. But, I mean, there was times, but I've always been a happy-go-lucky type of person, you know. I don't worry about, my wife's a planner. Everything has to be planned. I've never planned nothing. I'm a spontaneous person. This is it. Oh, hey, we're going to Cancun tomorrow. What? No. Things like that. So she took care of me so well that I can say I'm probably, of anybody that's had cancer that I've ever heard of going through chemo, I never got sick. She kept up on my nausea medication and everything and just kept me comfortable and took care of it. I had a lot of support from the community, or we both did, mm-hmm. from the community. Church groups made me quilts, things like that. So I think with my attitude and my, I don't know, there's another word besides jokiness, but I use jokiness, that it helped keep her on the positive side because she knows how I am, that right. I'm not going to let things get me down.
Y'all made a good team to fight this disease.
We do. We make a real good team. We're still fighting.
Looking for that 5 years. And in October, you go and have your mammogram, right?
I go and have my mammogram every year in October, schedule it at the Rose. We go together. Dr. Malillo will tell you there's not very many husband and wife teams that come in together
to get
mammograms, but
no.
We do. Not in the same room, of course.
Right.
We're separate rooms, but we do go in together.
Well, that's a whole new take on mammograms. This is the one time when it's a shared procedure. I love that.
So it's really funny on the mammogram. Go back to the mammogram. Now that I've had a mastectomy, how they can still get a mammogram on that. I'm like, it's concave now. What are you squeezing?
No, but they can.
They do.
They can. They're looking for that one little trace that something else might show up. That's right. And it's just amazing how advanced all of this technology has gotten. And thank goodness, yeah.
It really is.
We so appreciate you coming by today and sharing your story. It's a great story, Charlie. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate y'all having me. And like I say, I've always been a supporter of the Rose, and I hope more people get behind y'all and keep y'all growing and going.
We love that idea.
I like the new buses y'all have.
Oh, I know. Our five coaches are wonderful.
They are. I'm going to drive one day.
Great. Hey, we need help.
I'm there.
All right. Thanks again, Charlie.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today on Let's Talk About Your Breasts. This podcast is produced by Speak Podcasting and brought to you by The Rose. Visit therose.org to learn more about our organization. Subscribe to our podcast, share episodes with friends, and join the conversation on social media using hashtag Let's Talk About Your Breasts. We welcome your feedback and suggestions. Consider supporting The Rose. Your gift can make the difference to a person in need. And remember, self-care is not selfish. It's essential.